believe the right had done over a number of years in building up institutions like think tanks and policy centers.
Thank you very much, everybody. Such an honor. With the snow coming down and it's a little cold outside, and you have hundreds of people still outside trying to get in, but you know, we won't wait. We'll go ahead, right? We'll go ahead. First of all, congratulations to the Iowa State basketball team. You had a... What was that all about? I turned on the game. I said, wow, this shouldn't be that good a game. And then at the end of the game, I said, who won? Yes. That was great. That was great. And that's a great achievement. I want to also pay my respects. Ben Carson, they had a really bad accident. Some of his staffers were hurt pretty bad. So I just want to pay my respects to Ben. He's a good guy, a really good guy, and his staffers. And hopefully they get better. Say a prayer for him, okay? We've had an amazing time today. We've been all over Iowa, and we're going to be here tomorrow. We're going to be here so much, you're going to get so sick of me. You're going to say, please tell him to get out of here. Tell him to leave. Tell him to go. But we've had an incredible time. And, you know, it started, really, we've had really a pretty good week. The debate last week. Everybody watched the debate. And who knew about these debates? I didn't know anything about the debates. And it's been fun. And it's been interesting. And I've been treated semi-fairly by the moderators, not 100%. Some have been very fair, actually. And some have been not so fair. But, you know, a lot of the press hasn't been very fair. Boy, look at all the press back there. They must think there's a big event going to happen today. Wow, that's a lot. This is like the Academy Awards. But we've had an amazing, it's been an amazing experience. And it started really on June 16th when we came down the escalator. We came down that escalator and it was, I said, let's go. To my wife, who's been so supportive and so wonderful, I said, let's go. We're going to make America great again. That's what we're going to do. And, you know, it's hard to do this because when you think of it, I've never done it before. I've never been a politician, thank goodness, but I've never been a politician. I've always done jobs and put a lot of people to work, tens of thousands of people over the years. And, you know, I have thousands of Hispanics that love me. The Nevada poll just came out where I'm leading with Hispanics, which I knew. And we came out, and at that particular opening, when I opened and said I'm going to run for president, I gave up a lot, you know, gave up a lot of different things, including telling our friends at NBC, no more Apprentice. That's hard to do. You have a top show, and you say, I'm not doing it anymore. I'm sorry. They wanted to do it so badly. And Steve Burke, who's a fantastic executive, came up to my office, and he said, come on, Donald, come on, do it. You're not going to run. Do it, do it. I said, Steve, I'm going to run. I was pretty sure. You know, that was about 2 months before. I was pretty sure. It really is a tough thing to do. You know, all my life I've heard, if you're a very successful person, you'll never run for president. You'll never really run for politics, but you'll never, ever run for president. And I built a great company, and it's tremendous numbers. You saw the filings, and the press was going to look so closely that it was like D-Day when we put those papers in. You know, first thing I did, I announced. They said, oh, he's actually going to do it, because most of them said he'll never do it. Then when I signed Form A, that's when you sign your life away. And I signed that. They said, whoa, he signed that. Well, he'll never file the financials because maybe he's not as rich as everybody thinks. And I filed the financials, and they saw an unbelievable, you didn't hear a thing about it. Oh, boy, were they looking. I mean, were they looking. And almost 100 pages, the biggest report I ever filed with the FEC in terms of that. And it showed a company that's a phenomenal company with some of the great assets, very little debt, tremendous cash flow, you know, the way it's supposed to be, and it's great. And the reason I tell you that is because that is the kind of thinking we need now in the United States. We need that kind of thinking. We need that whatever it is. We need a mentality that's going to, you know, we're at $19 trillion in debt. It's going to be up to $21 trillion. You saw that horrible budget, horrible, horrible budget that was approved 2 weeks ago. And that's going to lift it. And so we went along, and a lot of things have happened. And then the polls came out, which I love. And new ones came out today, by the way, I'll tell you right now. You know, and now that we're at it. And they came out, some brand new and some beauties, and one's coming out. I guess a big one's coming out. I don't know exactly what it is, but it's got to be pretty good because I see the response. I mean, even this, with all the people still trying to come into this building, somebody said it's a barn. This is a very nice barn, actually. But with all of the people still trying to come in, you see what it is. And we do have something special in a couple of minutes. To me, it's really special because it's a person that I think is a spectacular person. So it's very special to me. But then the polls came out, and some of them, as an example, national polls, 38% for Trump, 20% for second. I wouldn't even mention names, right? Right, I won't even mention. I'm going to be non-confrontational today for a change. 21% for the second, 11%, and then they're all down, and some of them are actually at like 0 and 1%. I don't know. Jeb. Well, you know, Jeb's got one problem. He loves Common Core, meaning he wants your kids educated from Washington, which is immediately no good. And his second problem is he's very weak on illegal immigration. Remember he said, they come as an act of love. I said, what? They come as an act of love. So I think those are two very bad points, frankly. But you what? Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. USA, 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 USA. Thank you. Thank you, everybody. Thank you. Thank you very much. So we had another one, a big one come out. Go ahead. You can get him out, please. All right. Yeah, you can take him out now, please. Never fails. All right. Thank you. Thank you, darling. Maybe you could be quiet a little bit while they take you out. You know, I have to be careful. If I'm too rough, they say he was too rough. Then when I'm moderate and nice, they were saying, what happened to Trump? He's not tough enough. So you can't win with these people. The one good thing is they always show the crowd. That's the only way they show how big our crowds are. So, all right, get them out. Get them out of here. All right. So South Carolina just came out, and that's 32 for Trump, 18 for second, 11 for third. Great. Florida leading by a lot, 31, 19, 13, and then all down in the dumps. Georgia just came out. I have 33%. Don't forget, that's 33%. It's hard to believe. That's with 14 people, 15 people. I don't know when they took it, but it was recent. 33%. Connecticut. Now, Tom Brady loves me, and it's sort of like, you know. And I love Tom Brady, by the way. 35% to 18% to 9% to 2%, you know, to nothing. Maryland just came out. Maryland. Great place. 32% to 15% to 11% to 9%, and then, you know, they sort of phase out. You ever hear of a place called Iowa? Oh, I love this. We're doing actually great. First of all, I have to tell you, you know, they never report it. Even CNN doesn't report it. CNN does a poll, probably spend millions. They never report their poll. The CNN poll was 33 for Trump, 20 for Cruz. Nobody talks about it. Nobody talks. They don't talk about it. They talk about CNN is reporting other people's polls. So I call up. I say, wait a minute. You're CNN. You spent a fortune on polls, and you don't report your own poll because I'm winning by a lot. And they have no excuse, but they keep reporting other polls. But we're doing well. I think we're doing a lot better than anyone knows. Gravis just came out. 34 for Trump, 28 for Cruz. PPP, 28 for Trump, 26 for Cruz. In other words, it's a little close here. Quinnipiac, poll, very respected. 31 for Trump, 29 for Cruz. And then again, CNN, 33 to 20. So we're, I think we're doing good. I think we're actually doing better than the polls. Now, I could do this. I could say, well, I just want to do well in Iowa. I want to win Iowa, folks. Because, look, I love the people. The evangelicals have been phenomenal. I'm doing great with the evangelicals. But nationwide, I'm winning with the evangelicals. I don't know if you know that, by a lot, nationwide. With Iowa, I'm doing really well with the evangelicals. We're doing really well with the Tea Party. We're doing well. I mean, you hear the numbers. I mean, these are the numbers. But I actually think we're doing even better than the polls. And, you know, there's a thing that a lot of people say, well, you know, they call up, are you going to vote for Trump? He's got very, very tough immigration policies. He wants to destroy Obamacare and replace it with something a lot better. I'm going to do that. Okay? But, you know, and a lot of people, they'll pick up a phone and they'll hear different things and they'll say, no, I'll vote for. And then they get in the booth, they'll say, Trump is my man. There are a lot of people saying that we're going to do a lot better. Well, we'll see. Because February 1st, you have to get to caucus. You have to go out. You got to do it. It's so, otherwise, we've all wasted our time. You know, one of the groups in Maine, and it was like incredible. We were in different places up in New England recently. And New Hampshire was amazing. And the people are staying. It was so cold. It was one little group of, despite global warming, you know, you hear all about, it was so cold. It was wind chill below zero. And people are standing outside for hours trying to get in. And then you'll hear the announcers, well, will they show up to vote? And I don't know much, but I say, like, if people are going to stand out for 4 hours in the cold or the heat, because believe me, they stood out in heat during the summer and during the fall, like you wouldn't believe. In Tennessee, in Texas, we had 21,000 people. No matter where we go, we have these big crowds. But they'll stand for hours and hours to get in. Why aren't they going to go and vote? Or in your case, caucus, why aren't they going to go and vote? It's sort of an amazing thing. So we think they're going to really be. Why would somebody wait for hours, for 4 hours, and then we're not going to take 2 minutes to vote? Boom. Now, yours is a little more complicated because the caucus system is a little bit different. It's very, a very interesting system, but it is different. Here's what I have to say about Iowa. It's very important. So you know there's a movement to move Iowa to the back of the pack, okay? You know that. You'll still see me, but you won't see other people, believe me. I'm loyal. To a fault, I'm loyal. But you're going to see. I give you my word. I win. They're not touching Iowa. This is an amazing tradition. No, seriously. This is an amazing tradition. They're not moving Iowa back. They're not and they're not moving New Hampshire either, because they're talking about Iowa and New Hampshire. They're not touching New Hampshire. So we're going to just keep it the way it is. It really is. It's an amazing, first of all, you're amazing people. But all over the country, it's a movement. All over the country, the people are incredible. They want to make America great again. They're going to do something that's special. And, you know, we used to talk silent majority. I say it's the noisy majority, because it's actually a noisy majority. It's not a silent majority. But people are fed up. So I started on June 16th, and we did well, right, practically from the beginning. We went up. And if you remember, we started at, you know, nothing. We started at nothing, because nobody believed I was going to vote. So even when they, my wife said, you know, if you run, you're going to win. I said, what do you mean? She said, people don't believe you're going to run. So at the polls, you know, because I was getting these little polls. I felt like some of these guys now that are senators and governors, they get these little polls. It's getting these, I was, they can't get this guy. He goes, Jeb again, right? Boy, he's taking a lot of abuse, you know. I told him, I said, you know what? You should use the name Bush. What's wrong? Use the name Bush. I mean, maybe it's not working, but it's better than Jeb, right? You know, I really do. Get rid of the exclamation point and just put Jeb Bush. It's your name. Don't be ashamed of your name. So hope, you know, I wish him the best. But you know, it was sort of, so I started, and I started at like 2 or 3, and then I went to 6, and then I went to 9. And each time the pundits, these real geniuses back here, some of them are sitting back there, these real geniuses, like George Will with the little glasses. Take away the glasses, he looks like a dumb guy, I'm telling you. Those little... But each time these geniuses would say, well, he's reached his plateau, he's plateaued at 6, right? Then it goes to 11. Well, you know, this is surprising, but he's reached his plateau. And then it goes to 18. Then it went to 22, 24, 28. Then it went to 32. Then it went actually to 42 in the Gravis poll. And in Reuters, we got to 42 and even a little above that. And all of a sudden, you didn't hear so much about the plateau. I want a plateau at 42. You know, 42 with like 14 people, that's pretty good. But they kept saying, he plateaued, that's all he'll get. He's got these followers. We have the smartest followers there are, number one. We have the smartest. And the hardest working followers. We have people that love the country more than anybody, and they want to take back what's happened because our country is going to hell. We can be nice about it. We can say it nice and soft. Our country is going to hell. When you look at this crazy Iran deal where we're paying $150 billion and they give us five back, but they don't know where the fifth is, and you understand what that means. That's not a good sign. But they give us five people, but they get seven, and they get 14 off the Interpol list. And these are bad dudes. They get 14 plus seven, so they're getting 21 people. And they have the right to do whatever they want from an enterprise standpoint, right to do oil, right to do whatever they want. But what do they also get out of that deal? First of all, they're going to get nuclear. They don't have to develop missiles. They can buy them. For the kind of money we gave them, they're going to buy them. Why are they going to develop? Remember the deal? 24 days. They have 24 days for inspection period. They also have self-inspection, right? But we paid $150 billion. And I always say, wow, what a great, the Persians are great negotiators. I say, what a great deal that is. And then I said, 2 weeks ago I started. I said, wait a minute, that's not a good deal compared to the other deal. They took over Iraq. We gave them Iraq. We knocked the hell out of Iraq. We decimated their armed forces. And, you know, for years they would fight. For many, many years, for decades, they'd fight, fight, fight. Nobody would win, fight. They'd rest, then they'd go back to fight. They were the same. And now we gave them the second largest oil reserves in the world, which is Iraq. We gave it to them. Now they're going into Yemen. And if you look at Yemen, take a look. They're going to get Syria. They're going to get Yemen, unless, you know, trust me, a lot of good things are going to happen if I get in. But let's just sort of leave it the way it is. They get Syria. They get Yemen. Now, they didn't want Yemen, but you ever see the border between Yemen and Saudi Arabia? They want Saudi Arabia. So what are they going to have? They're going to have Iraq. They're going to have Iran. They're going to have Iraq. They're going to have Yemen. They're going to have Syria. They're going to have everything. They're going to be a monster. We've created this with stupid leadership, really stupid leadership. So when I started, I said, we have to do something about it. It's not something I wanted to do. It's something we have to do because we're going to make it. I'm representing you. I'm not taking any money. I'm not, you know, like some of these guys where they're getting millions and millions of dollars from people I know. And they're nice people, and some are very bad people. But they have no interest in the country. They have interest in their company, or they have interest in countries that they're representing. And these people and these politicians are going to do exactly as they're told by their lobbyists and their special interests and their donors. Me, I'm going to do the right thing. And I always tell the story. When Ford moves to Mexico, I'm going to talk them out of it. When Nabisco moves its plant from Chicago to Mexico, I'm going to talk them out of it. Believe me, it's going to be easy. It's going to be easy. So I started and I talked about the border, very strong on immigration and illegal immigration, took a lot of heat, but you wouldn't even be talking about that subject if I didn't bring it up. And I talked about, again, I talked about ISIS, I talked about, but what really happened is after Paris, we had 130 people killed. And by the way, I told you Common Core is dead and Second Amendment is right this way. We're going to protect the Second Amendment. We're going to protect the guns. We're going to protect your guns. You know, if in Paris and if in Los Angeles, where you had the two maniacs that were married, she came on a fiancé permit, fiancé, you know, wonderful fiancé. She was totally radicalized, maybe radicalized him, maybe he was already that way. But we got to start thinking. We have to start using our head. Bad stuff is happening. We have to find out what's going on. We have a president who won't even talk about the term. If you think, he won't even mention anything to do with what we all know is going on. And you can't solve the problem if you don't talk about it. You have to talk about it. So very, very strongly, we started talking about that. And then after Paris, and by the way, if we had a couple of you and you and you, we had three or four people in that room in Paris, as an example, where they have the toughest gun laws, like in the world. You can't have a gun unless you're a bad guy, you put a gun. And they walked in, just said, boom. Boom, boom, you move over, boom. Killed 130, more to follow, because there are people that are so badly wounded. But if we had a few of the people I pointed out, I could pick plenty in this audience, believe me. But if they had guns on their waist, if they had guns around their ankle, where the bullets went the opposite direction, would have been a whole different story, folks. Be a whole different story. So very, very big on Second Amendment. But what happened is all of a sudden, after Paris and then to an extent, and to a pretty big extent, Los Angeles, to, you know, in California, what happened is these polls started coming in where everybody liked Trump even more. I went up 11 points. I don't want to do it for that reason, but I went up because people want strength, just like having the family of John Wayne, who was great. I love John Wayne from Iowa. But out of nowhere, I got the most beautiful letter from his daughter, who you just met, who's an incredible woman, and she said, we'd like to endorse you. John Wayne was a strong guy. We need strength. We need strength in this country because we're withering away with political correctness. Nonsense, okay? Nonsense. I mean, you think of it. You can't say Merry Christmas anymore. We're going to say Merry Christmas again. You go to these department stores, they don't have any Christmas displays. They don't have the signs, Merry Christmas. Even people that aren't Christian are saying, Merry Christmas. We love Christmas. Let us say Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays. But people like to see it. And stores don't put it up anymore. We're withering away. We're going in the wrong direction. So I said, we're going to do this. And I had no idea it was going to work this way. I figured I'd be in the pack and maybe like a racehorse. You know, just at the end, you can sort of inch it out. I had no idea to have 21-point leads nationally. We're up by so much. And, you know, I want to keep it that way. I want to keep it that way. When you think, and just one thing before I introduce our incredible person, our incredible guest, but one thing, I've spent to this point almost nothing. And I'm in first place by a lot. I tell the story. I'm not bragging about spending. I'm just saying. I'm telling a story. I have spent, they'll tell you, almost nothing. And I'm in first place by, some polls have me 21 points. That's a lot. Okay? You know, some people have two. I have a lead of 20. But I'm in first place by a lot. Jeb has spent now $77 million. Think of it. And you know, the reason I bring him up, I wouldn't even bring him up, but he spends a fortune on ads against me. You people have all seen it before. I got along with everybody. I contributed. I was a world-class businessman. Now I'm a politician, which I hate to tell you. But you go with everybody. You want to love everybody. You want them all to love you, unless you're stupid. But you want everybody to love you. Everybody knows the story. But so much money has been spent on me. But he spent $79 million. I spent nothing. I'm in first by a lot. He's down on, like, toward the bottom of the pack. And I say to myself, it's amazing. Wouldn't that be great if this were the country doing this? As an example, education. We're number 28 in the world. We have third world countries that are ahead of us. Education is very important to me. 28 in the world. Countries that you wouldn't believe are ahead of us. You wouldn't believe it if you heard the names of some of these countries. So we're 28, but we're number one in spending per pupil by far. Wouldn't it be nice if you had, like, this election process where we spent the least and we had the best education, you know? So Sweden and Norway and China and others are the best. We're nowhere near them, and yet we spend far more per pupil. So we're going to change that. And I told you we're going to get it localized, but we're going to change that. Watch. You just watch how. I can tell you. We are good, and I will tell you this. You can't educate your children through bureaucrats in Washington. And that's what happens with Common Core. When the parents take over, and I really mean this, because I've seen it, when the parents surround those schools and they love those kids and they love those pupils, and even when their kids graduate, they are committed to those schools, they're committed to education. You can do so much better in Iowa than they can possibly do telling you what to do in Washington. And not all of them, but most of them are just interested in, where's my check? How much do I get? Let's make the process complicated. And some of the things that your kids are made to study are an outrage, okay? So we're going to bring that back locally, and it's going to be great. Okay. So what happened, essentially, is I started looking, and all of a sudden things changed, and people are now looking. They know I'll do great with China. I'm going to do great with Japan. I'm going to do great with Mexico, who's killing us in trade and killing us also at the border. We will build a wall, and you know who's going to pay for the wall? Mexico. They're going to pay for it because they make a fortune and all of those things. But now we're really focused on security, and I'm honored because I will tell you that all of the polls, and the CNN polls in particular, where they said Trump is just not by a little bit, by many, many, many percentage points, winning on ISIS, winning on the military, winning with the vets. We're going to take care of our vets. Big league, by the way. Big league. Big league. And we're going to really take care of our military. It's going to be big and strong and powerful, and nobody's going to mess with us. And it's the cheapest thing we can do. I can tell you that right now. So it's been a real focus. I just want to now say just a couple of words about a very special person. This is a person who I've known for a long time, who I've respected for so long, an incredible husband, an incredible family, and somebody that when I heard that she was going to endorse me, I was so honored. You have no idea how honored. And I would like to bring up, if I might, Governor Sarah Palin. Special, special person. Thank you.
Thank you so much. It's so great to be in Iowa. We're here just thawing out. Todd and I and a couple of our friends here from Alaska lending our support for the next president of our great United States of America, Donald J. Trump. Mr. Trump, you're right. Look back there in the press box. Heads are spinning. Media heads are spinning. This is going to be so much fun. Are you ready to make America great again? We all have a part in this. We all have a responsibility. Looking around at all of you, you hardworking Iowa families, you farm families, and teachers, and teamsters, and cops, and cooks, you rock and rollers, and holy rollers. All of you who work so hard, you full-time moms, you with the hands that rock the cradle. You all make the world go round, and now our cause is won. When asked why I would jump into a primary, kind of stirring it up a little bit maybe, and choose one over some friends who are running, and I've endorsed a couple others in their races before they